Thank you, Todd. Good evening. Yep, there's only 47 seconds left, so checked it earlier and we were 5 points behind. Checked it again, we were 5 points ahead. So I don't know what happened to get those 10 points, but that's okay. I said we. Maybe some Kentucky fans or some anti-Carolina fans, so I apologize for including you in that we. I'm going to ask you to turn to Proverbs chapter 10 to start out. I did want to make a little follow-up comment on Steve Price. You got to see that. How many of you have ever heard Steve Price in person? So most of us have. If you have not, Steve is really an amazing communicator of the Word of God. Uses a lot of humor and a lot of personal illustrations, a lot of medical illustrations from his own experience. And we're really excited. Some of us have heard him speak on marriage and the family before up at Skyland. And I think it's going to be a real benefit, a real blessing. We hope that this Sunday morning we're going to have a video that he's trying to make for us, a short 5-minute video to kind of introduce himself and introduce his topic that'll be starting a week from Wednesday. So hopefully we'll get that'll encourage some other folks to come out. But we want to encourage you to encourage other people too. And maybe that'll be tying a little bit to our time together tonight. We've been looking on the Sunday nights when I have spoken in recent months. We've been looking at the book of Proverbs as wisdom for daily life. And we looked at the first 9 chapters and we saw that there were a few more themes and subjects that were together and we could kind of outline it so we looked at it like that. But we get to chapter 10, as you know, Solomon and the other Proverbs writers, the way that they're compiled, there's not, in our minds, from our perspective, there's not a real clear, let's talk about this for 10 verses and this for 3 verses. Rather, each verse often stands alone. So we're looking at it somewhat thematically by taking things, particularly from chapters 10 through 29. Once you get to 30 and 31, again, it goes back some other proverbs that were collected, and they're more in a themed, the way that they're put together is more of a theme there. So we're going to be looking tonight, as you see there on the screen, the subject being watch your mouth. And I had a wise brother tell me that I should not try to do all this subject at one time. And I told him, no, I'm going to do it, brother. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to break it up. We're going to kind of narrow it down a little bit. Because I found that in these 20 chapters, 10 through 29, there are about 110 verses that apply directly to what we say. Often referred to, we'll see tonight, the mouth, the tongue, and the lips directly spoken about, and then other time just words, as we'll see some of that too, and different things that we say. So we're not going to try to get all that in. We're going to be doing well just to get in the verses that I'd like for us to look at tonight, 7 particular verses regarding the mouth and health. So as I looked through and looked at them, I thought about health and whether you're for or against the Affordable Care Act. I know you're for health, all right? However you're expecting to get that health, and however you're going to pay for that health, and however you're going to procure that health. I know that we all have a real desire to be healthy. And we're going to find out tonight that we are not only responsible for our own health, but we're really going to be looking at tonight is how do my words and your words affect the spiritual health of others? That's really what we're going to be looking at tonight. And we're going to see that our mouths, our lips, our tongues, our words are potentially consistent sources of things that are very much needed in order for others to be spiritually healthy. Now, we're obviously not responsible for their health, but we are our brother's keeper. As Cain was, he tried to get out from that, but of course he was, and we are. If we know the Lord Jesus as Savior, which I look around and I think everybody in this room, I think, professes to know the Lord Jesus as Savior, and I trust that everyone does. If you do, then there are a number of ways, and we're going to look at seven ways tonight in which our words can be a potentially consistent source of spiritual health for others. And the first one that we're going to find, and I tell you what, before we go there, let's just see what we got here. Oh man, there's 3 seconds left and we're up by two. I thought it was going to be over and I could just give this. Okay. All right, let's go on. So the first one we're going to look at is our mouths, our words, as a consistent source, potentially, of pure water. Notice in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 10, we can definitely, in Proverbs, jump in about anywhere and pick right up on the context. Chapter 10 and verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. So here we have a source. And the source that we find in this verse is the mouth of the righteous. Now, we know that when we speak of righteousness, someone being just, someone being right, according to God, then we find that that is true of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior positionally. Our position before God is that we are justified. And He sees us in Christ, and we are righteous in His sight. But we find from studying the Word of God that we are to be righteous, that we are to live a righteous life, an upright life, a life that's right according not to the culture, not according to just our own opinion, but rather according to the Word of God, what He has revealed to us. And so what we find here in the book of Proverbs, and particularly in this verse, is not so much the positionally righteous, but the one who is just and right in character, in conduct. The person who is just and right in character and conduct, that's the mouth, which is the source that we find here. Now, as we think about the importance of pure water, I'm gonna give you some quotations from some different websites tonight regarding this in a practical, physical sense. From naturalnews.com, we read, "The importance of high-quality drinking water is vastly understated. Comprising approximately 75% of the body, water is found both inside and outside the cells and is the basis of all body fluids, including blood, lymph, saliva, digestive juices, urine, and perspiration. Therefore, an unadulterated source of pure drinking water and learning how to optimize hydration is one of the most fundamentally important things one can do for their own health." That's a physical water. That's a literal water. Tonight we're talking about a figurative water, and we go into the Word of God and we read about rivers of living water. We read about the water of the Word of God and water in many other contexts, and we find that that water is spiritually for us, for spiritual drinking, spiritual refreshment, spiritual cleansing, spiritual purifying. And so in our verse, we see that he's talking here about a well of life. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. I remember years ago, Don and Janet Pale had first come and were here before they, of course, now are back in Florida, but they hadn't been here very long. About that time, Kim and Josh and I had gone with a group to Israel, and we came back and we gave a report. And I remember I was showing slides, literal slides at that time, and I was talking about Jacob's well. And I remember after we won, okay, Todd's got his hands up, one hand in the air, so I don't think he's praising. He's probably praising too, but you know, all right, Carolina won, and the game is over, 75-73. All right, let's get on with the final four, and let's get on with this, the final 30. All right, here. Anyway, I remember talking about Jacob's well that we had seen in Israel, and afterwards, Janet Pell was telling me, you know, I was trying to find a whale, and I could not. She thought it was like Jonah and the whale. You know, and my pronunciation of whale, W-E-L-L, she heard W-H-A-L-E being originally from Michigan and then in Florida. So anyway, make sure you know what I'm talking about. It's spelled out right here before you. The well of life. And really, the word well here, it means a fountain or a natural spring. fountain or a natural spring. And we can look through the Word of God in Psalm 36 and verse 9. We read that with God is the fountain of life. There are a number of other verses in Proverbs talking about the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Understanding is a wellspring of life. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. You know, I think about how can I share through my mouth, how can I share something that could be a source of refreshment or cleansing or thirst quenching for someone else? How could I do that? And I thought, you know, I could share something from my own devotional time, something that I read, something that was meaningful for me. You could do the same. You could share that with someone, and in doing so, you could bring refreshment to their lives as your mouth being a well of life. But you know, it's interesting, as we see in the book of Proverbs, and in most of our verses tonight, we'll see this. Oftentimes, there is a contrast, and the contrast helps us to understand the point that he's trying to make. So here in our verse, in Proverbs 10 and verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. So here's the contrast. The contrast is violence. A violence, of course, is a behavior that intends to injure or kill. What is violence wanting to do? It wants to take away the quality of life, or even take away life itself. That is the goal of violence. When someone seeks to do physical violence to another person, they're trying to injure them so that their life is not what it would have been had they not been injured. The same is true, spiritually speaking. Violence covers the mouth of the wicked. There's the contrast of the violence coming from the mouth of the wicked person, which would be the opposite of what should come out of the mouth of the righteous person. The wicked person would be the unrighteous person, who's not only unrighteous in position, but unrighteous in practice, living an ungodly life, living a wicked life. And there are many people in the world today who are seeking to use their mouths to injure spiritually other people, including us. But tonight, what we're thinking more directly about is not so much those who were out living a purposely wicked life, trying to injure the spiritual well-being, trying to cause a greater lack of that spiritual refreshment. We're talking about believers. We're talking about us in this room tonight. That if we're not careful, though positionally righteous, we can use our mouths in a way that's wicked, a way that does injury to others rather than benefits them. So we think about examining ourselves, and we'll end each one of these points, each one of these verses, with a quick self-examination. And here's the question that I want us to ask ourselves tonight as we think about this. Are my words a fountain of God's, that's supposed to be living, loving is fits there too, but it's supposed to be living. Are my words a fountain of God's living water, or an injury and hindrance to the spiritual well-being of others? The things that I talk about. When's the last time that I shared something from my quiet time with someone else? Well, that would be a source of refreshment. But, you know, I also can share things with people that, and we'll look at the next time that we look in the book of Proverbs, some of the things that he lists, like gossiping and backbiting. You know, we could be sharing those things about others and actually not only hurting the person we're talking about, but actually hurting the person we're talking to, causing damage to their spiritual life. We could actually be doing violence. So we see here the challenge to have our mouths as a consistent source of pure water as we seek to live a life of righteousness, sharing with others what God is doing in our life, a testimony from what he is showing us. The second verse is going to be in, I think, hang on just a second. I've either got things out of order or I missed, here it is. Okay, I've got them out of order. I was not watching the game. I don't want you to think that's why these are out of order. I was trying to kind of half listen, but anyway, we'll get back to that one. Okay, here's where we are. Proverbs 10:21. Proverbs 10:21. We see, and we'll just read that verse together. You're already here. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. So here we find the source to be the lips of the righteous. Again, he's referring to those who were right, not only in position, those who were also right in conduct and character before God, because they are allowing the Word of God to work into their lives. They're allowing the Spirit of God to fill them. They're allowing the grace of God to enable them to serve God. And they're allowing the Lord to come in and change their lives in a practical way, just as He has done in a positional way. So that's who we're talking about. Here he refers to the lips of the righteous. I don't think there's a real distinction that I can tell when he uses mouth and lips and tongue. I don't think that he's trying to make a separate point, but using synonymous terms. Maybe you have some other thoughts on that. I'd be glad to talk with you later if you see a distinction there particular, and there may be. Here we see the importance of nutritious food. This comes from newhealthguide.org. They say to maintain a healthy heart, active brain, and optimally working muscles, you must take care to eat a balanced diet that provides proper nutrients to your body. These nutrients provide you with energy, as well as stronger bones, muscles, and tendons. Nutrients also aid in the regulation of bodily processes like blood pressure and digestion. Again, that's talking about a physical food. We know that we need physical food in order to live, and we're going to be much healthier if we eat food that's nutritious. Now, we can eat cardboard, and that will fill us up and maybe help us not to be too hungry. Or we can live on Cheetos, but that's not going to, neither one of those are going to lend themselves to a healthy life, healthy physical life. So we're thinking here about figurative food. What we're taking into our minds and into our hearts and into our spirits is going to impact our spiritual lives, the health that we're experiencing. So we're thinking about the spiritual well-being of other people, people who hear us. And we find here in this verse that the lips of the righteous feed many. So we find food for many people. You know, people in your life need other people, including you, who are going to speak words that will feed them. Now, sometimes we think about feeding people from the public ministry and those who have the responsibility to study the Word of God and then present it in a public way like I'm doing tonight. We think about that they're feeding the flock, and that's true. That's very true, and it's very appropriate, and it's very serious, and the elders take it seriously as we ask brothers to study and to present the Word of God. We take that seriously because they're feeding the flock. We're feeding the flock of God, but we know that's not the only way that you're going to eat spiritually. Hopefully you're feeding yourself, but also we're to feed one another, and there are people in your life, and they need people who will speak words which will feed them. There are people that you will have one-on-one informal conversations with, and they need to hear words which will feed them spiritually. There are people that you have more formal gatherings with, one-on-one or a small group or a Bible study or a Sunday school class. I think about us sharing a scripture verse. What can be more nutritious than the milk and the meat of the Word, presenting the bread of life to someone else? Memorizing a scripture verse or seeing a scripture verse, hearing a scripture verse, and then sharing that with someone. When's the last time that you took your Bible or you took your memory and you shared a verse with somebody else? Just read the verse to them. Maybe you talked a little bit about what it meant to you. Or maybe you just said, hey, I read this really neat verse the other day. You know, how simple it is to provide some spiritual nourishment for someone else. Sharing a verse, simple but not necessarily easy. I understand that, but that's why I think that the Holy Spirit of God brings these out to us. And then we see the contrast here in our verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but here's the contrast. Fools die for lack of wisdom. You know, when we don't have what we need for nutrition physically, we're eventually going to die. And we're definitely not going to have the quality of life that we would have if we ate more nutritious food. It's not always available, but often it is. And here's an opportunity that we have to feed other people. And if they don't take in the proper diet, both in quality and quantity, it's going to result in a lessening of their spiritual vitality, if they're saved, and of their spiritual growth. So that brings us to that self-examination. Are my words feeding others spiritually nutritious food or junk food? Well, what am I talking about? I'm not saying that it's wrong to talk about the ball game. I talked about it up here, and I'll probably talk about it. I'm sure I'll talk about it again after the meeting. But does that make up the bulk of my conversation? Is it just things that have to do with this life and this world and what I'm going to eat for supper? And what color car I'm going to buy, and what's going on at work, or do I talk about things of eternal value? No, I can talk about all those things in the context also of spiritually nutritious food. Not that everything we say has to be about the Word of God directly, but that should be permeating, and I hope that comes through in all that we see. So, are my words feeding others spiritually nutritious food, or are my words merely providing junk food that's beneficial only for the things of this world? Well, let's move ahead. We'll go over to chapter 12. Chapter 12, and again, there are many others in between. I'm just pulling these out regarding our health. And here we see a verse that speaks about the tongue of the wise. Proverbs 12 and verse 18, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise, the New King James says, promotes health. Yours may say, the tongue of the wise is health. But we're gonna kind of take the thought here in the New King James Version that our lips, or our tongue in this context, can be a consistent source of promoting health. And that's the source here, the tongue of the wise. We're looking here in the book of Proverbs, and we're finding wisdom for daily life. We've seen wisdom as being skillful, or being wise as being skillful at applying knowledge to everyday life. And so the tongue of the wise can be a consistent source of promoting spiritual health. A health promotion and the promotion of healing is important. From publichealth.uga.edu, we read, health promotion enhances the quality of life for all people. By focusing on prevention, health promotion reduces the cost that individuals, employers, families, insurance companies, medical facilities, communities, the state, and the nation would spend on medical treatment. That's in a physical sense. That's talking about the health of our bodies. We're talking about the importance of promoting health and healing spiritually. Promoting an atmosphere of the importance of health, spiritual health, spiritual health consciousness, and spiritually healthy lifestyles. That's what our words ought to be portraying, that it's important. It's important that people are spiritually healthy. It's important that we have an atmosphere in our local assembly that promotes spiritual health. Not only that promotes living up to a certain standard, or following certain spoken or unspoken rules, but that there's a spiritually healthy, health-giving lifestyle. Promoting spiritual health by what we say, by what we talk about how we say what we say. I think here, an example, as I share things that the Lord Jesus has shown me about Himself. You know, do we build that atmosphere? Do I build that atmosphere with my words? that we want to talk about the Lord Jesus. We want to talk about who He is. We want to talk about His character and His work. I'm not saying talk about that all the time. There are other things in life that I believe He would want us to talk about and that are beneficial and important. But I think He wants us to talk about Himself as well. And notice here the contrast. It's a vivid contrast. Words that pierce like a sword. That word is the only. This is the only time that word "pierce" is used in the Bible from the Hebrew. But the word that is derived from means to thrust through, and most of the time it's speaking of a sword or a knife or something thrusting through another person in an act of warfare. So he said there are people that use their words, and that's what they're doing. They're piercing like a sword. They are bringing spiritual violence and injury and an unhealthy spiritual atmosphere, but we don't want to do that. We want to have words that promote healing of wounds rather than piercing to cause wounds. What about my conversation? What about my conversation? What about my conversation around the dinner table? As my children hear me, as my spouse hears me, as my friends hear me, are they going to be wounded spiritually by what I'm saying? Am I unintentionally piercing them through, causing a wound by my conversation, or am I actually promoting the healing of wounds? Okay, well, let's move along. We're going to just keep speeding up. Here we're going to stay in chapter 12 and go down to verse 25. Oh, yeah, that's where I got out of order, isn't it? Okay, hang on. Let's see here. I apologize. No, man, I messed up. I'm going to apologize to you. What we're going to do, we're going to follow this. Go on to chapter 14. Go on to chapter 14. We might come back to that one, or maybe we won't have time. But chapter 14, and here we see the lips of the wise. The lips of the wise. Chapter 14 and verse 3 is the verse that we'll use to springboard for this one from. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Let me read a couple of other verses to you that tie in with that. Proverbs 13:3. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 21:23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Here we see the lips of the wise. Again, those who are wise, those who are seeking to apply the knowledge of the Word of God to the daily living, seeking to live out a life that honors the Lord Jesus, that represents Him well, the lips of the wise. We think about the importance of trustworthy protection, of protective equipment. Listen to this from results-staffing.com, talking about personal protective equipment. PPE, that's equipment that will protect workers against health or safety risks on the job. The purpose is to reduce employee exposure to hazards when engineering and administrative controls are not feasible or effective to reduce these risks to acceptable levels. So that's in a practical, physical sense. But when it comes to using our mouths and our words, in the same token, we should be seeking to what we find there in chapter 14 and verse 3 and chapter 13 and verse 3, a preservation of life. A preservation of life. You see, what I say can protect me and also others. How can it do that? What about when I'm warning others? When I'm taking the Word of God and I'm learning dangers and I'm seeing from my own experience things that have harmed me or harmed others. I've seen people in the Word of God. I've seen the decisions that they made and how that hurt them. I can take that and I can warn someone else. That's like giving them a helmet to protect their heads. That's like giving them some shoes with steel toes in them to protect their feet. I can warn them. I can aid them in knowing how to be spiritually safe. What have you learned in your own life from studying the Word of God and applying it in a wise way? What have you learned about how to stay spiritually safe? What have you learned about putting on the armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6? You can share that with others. You can instruct them in defensive behavior, how to be on guard, how to watch out, how to be careful, how to avoid those things that can trip up the believer. I can talk about that. And we find the contrast here in those different verses. Here in chapter 14 and verse 3, we find that the contrast is a rod of pride in the mouth of the fool. That one who does not apply knowledge biblically to the practical things of life, the Bible regards that person as a fool, and in their mouth is a rod of pride. What do you do with a rod? Well, it can be used in a positive way, but a rod of pride can't be used in a positive way. A rod of pride exalts the one who holds that rod and uses that rod to injure others. That's what's in the mouth of the fool. Pride injures. In chapter 3 and verse 13, we see that the person who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. And here's the idea of guarding our mouths from saying things that are inappropriate. Saying things that are not helpful. Saying things that are not edifying. Saying things that do not build up others, but rather tear them down and injure them. Destruction. And then in chapter 21 and verse 23, we see that guarding our mouths and tongues can keep us and others from troubles. The word for troubles there is the thought of distress. And we can protect them from that. So here's our examination question. Does what I say tend to encourage or discourage protection? Does what I say tend to encourage people to be on guard and be safe, or does it tend to discourage that and rather lead them to destruction? Okay, I'm going to find out too what's next. Okay, here we come. Chapter 15 and verse 4. We find that our words should be a consistent source of healthy fruit. Healthy fruit, chapter 15 and verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. The source here is not directed so much at a person who is righteous or wise, specifically, though both of those characteristics would tie in, but rather the source here is a wholesome tongue. The word wholesome means health-giving. A healthy tongue or a health-providing tongue. I'm not going to read you the quote from healthyeating.com. You know that fruit is a good source of vitamins and minerals. You know that healthy fruit is beneficial. In fact, USDA's My Plate says that we should make half our plate fruits and vegetables. That doesn't count carrot cake, by the way, as a vegetable either, all right? Fruits and vegetables. But we come spiritually, we're talking here about a tree of life. Tree of life. When we look in the Bible at the tree of life, we see a tree of life in the book of Genesis. And then we see a tree of life in the book of Revelation. The only other place where we find a tree of life in the Bible is smack dab here in this book. For daily wisdom. It's the book of Proverbs. We have it here in chapter 15 and verse 4, chapter 3 and verse 18, chapter 11 and verse 30, chapter 13 and verse 12. We read here about the tree of life. You see, we're talking about the fruit of the tree. You read in Genesis, you read in Revelation, what's important about the tree? The most important thing about the tree is the fruit. Now, in Revelation, the leaves are also used for healing. But the fruit is the main thing for these types of trees. And so what is the fruit? You know, I was thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. Is what comes out of my mouth characterized by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, faithfulness and self-control? Does that characterize what comes out of my mouth? If what comes out of my mouth doesn't go through that filter of that ninefold fruit, then I would question whether it would really be from the Lord. It wouldn't be the life of the Lord Jesus. Those things characterize Him, the tree of life. And when it comes out, characterized by the fruit of the Spirit, it provides health benefits for the hearers. The contrast there, a broken spirit. Perverseness in the tongue. That word perverseness means crookedness. It's not in line with what God would have from His Spirit, taking His Word and applying it to our lives. That breaks the spirit of other people. It doesn't provide health in their lives. No, it breaks their spirit. So our question is, does my conversation result in spirits that are broken or spirits that are evidence of the life of Christ? What about my words? What about what I say? What about what I talk about? Okay, a few more minutes left. We're going to jump to Proverbs 16 and verse 24. Proverbs 16 and verse 24. And here we read that a wholesome tongue, again that same word, wholesome, a wholesome tongue is a tree. Oh, hold it. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. Proverbs 6, I'm reading the same verse again. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. The source here is pleasant words. That word pleasant is often translated beauty as we look through the Old Testament and the Hebrew. We can see in Proverbs 15 and verse 26, the writer says that the words of the pure are pleasant. The words of the pure are pleasant. So we really have pleasant words, beautiful words, words that bless. And we're talking about a consistent source of a tasty alternative. I was reading on SpoonUniversity.com that sometimes healthy foods taste like leaves and dirt. Get an amen on that? Sometimes healthy food tastes like leaves and dirt, especially when you compare it to junk food. But we know that healthy foods have a benefit, so sometimes we eat something that tastes like leaves and dirt. But when we have the choice and we're weak, we're probably going to go for the junk food. So isn't it good to have a tasty alternative? And you know, our words should be pleasant words, like a honeycomb. And that's the picture that he paints here, the idea of a honeycomb. And really here in our verse, chapter 16 and verse 24, in the Hebrew, it's really honeycomb honey. Honeycomb honey. And they say that the honey that's stored within the honeycomb is actually the purest, rawest form of the honey. And that the wax even of the honeycomb has nutritional value and health benefits. I love honey. I love honey. Honey's a healthy food, but it's also a tasty food. And notice here that in our verse, he brings out that point that it's both sweet and it's also healthy. There's a twofold benefit there. And so as our words are saturated with the raw honey of the Word of God, and it's interesting that the only other time we find this reference to honeycomb in the same Hebrew word is Psalm 19, verse 10. As it speaks of the Word of God as being more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Same two words there. Again, so there's a twofold benefit, and that should characterize my words. Words that are tasty. I'm reminded of Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. And in verse 6, it says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." There should be something attractive in my conversation. Doesn't mean that I'm only going to talk about pleasant topics. It doesn't mean that I'm never going to say anything negative. But as I'm in the Word of God and I'm meditating on the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Himself, so that the saturation of God's Word comes into my very being, then my conversation, hopefully, will be more noticeable that it's sweet and also healthy. A wonderful, tasty alternative. There's no direct contrast in the verse, but we see here the thought of tastelessness and unhealthiness. And sometimes, you know, we can just be downright boring. Downright boring. And some of the things we talk about, though they're interesting to us, are really not spiritually interesting to anybody else. And oftentimes they're unhealthy. They're unhealthy. We need our tongues and our lips and our mouths to have conversation that is like honey to the hearers, both tasty and healthy. So what can I talk about this week? What can I say? What memory verse can I put into my mind and heart that I could share with somebody? What conversation could I have? How could I look for opportunities in my life this week to bring up something spiritual, something about the Lord Jesus, something practical in my life that God is doing? How can I bring Him out? How can I bring His Word out? How can I bring the application of Scripture into my life out in a conversation? Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Be careful what you say. And I want to be careful for what I say. And this week, I want to remember that my mouth, my lips, my tongue, my words are going to have an impact on the health of others, whether for good or for bad. My conversation. I trust that the Lord will encourage us. And as you read through the book of Proverbs, and the other one that I passed over, if you want to look it up, was Proverbs 12:25. Our tongues, our words being a consistent source of emotional support. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Okay, we're going to close in prayer. Thank you for your time tonight. Thank you for being here, and we look forward to being together Wednesday night, looking into the Word of God of Brother Rob White as he brings a devotional thought, and we're going to have a good time of prayer. I want to encourage you to be there. We're going to be sharing our hearts, our needs with each other, and then we're going to be taking those to the Lord before we have our time of devotion. So let's pray tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our words. Father, we know we're going to give an account for every idle word. And Lord, I confess to you before my brothers and sisters tonight that I know that many of my words, even over this past week, I believe that you would consider them idle. Father, I pray that I would be wiser this week, and that I would be more on guard, and that I would be more saturated with the Scripture, that my words, not only when I'm preaching, but when I'm having a conversation, that they would be saturated with you and with your Scripture, and that no matter what the conversation topic is, that, Lord, that I might say things that are appropriate. That even if I'm talking about the ball game, Lord, that the fruit of the Spirit might come pouring through the things that I say and the way that I say it. So thank you for these brothers and sisters. We pray that you'll help us in our conversation. We pray that we will promote spiritual health for one another, for those who don't know you, and Father, for other believers that we'll come in contact with this week. Thank you so much for your grace toward us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. The Lord bless you. Let's have some good conversations.